This is Chris Bleck on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Bleck and Abdallah podcast. It's presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
Home for sports, ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Bleck and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Bleck and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
The Celtics and the Raptors, they're at halftime of Game 3.
Uh-oh.
Are the defending champs about to get swept out of this playoff bubble? The halftime score is Celtics 57, Raptors 47. Celts up by 10 at halftime. And basically, you know, we are seeing another great performance from Kemba Walker. In 18 minutes, he's 6 of 8 from the field, 3 of 4 from three-point land, 21 points. 10 points from Brown, 10 points from Tatum, and really the Raptors, just that great defense we saw in the regular season, not being able to contain what the young Celtics are able to do. And it seems like, well, you know, I thought that the Raptors were going to be good in the playoffs, but I think I underestimated what the Celtics were capable of doing.
Yeah, down 10 right now at half, it just seems like the Celtics are playing better defense. Their shots are getting up there, and, you know, you look back to last night with the Heat and the Bucks and the way that Heat team is playing, and I feel like we're getting a Heat-Celtics series, which is going to be great.
Yeah, I'm
like, that's going to be great.
I don't have a problem with that. You know, and last night, you think about it, and you watch what the Miami Heat are doing, and you look at the box score, and you're like, hold up, Jimmy Butler had 40 in game one, and then he had how many in game two? Oh, wait, it's because the Heat have all these, like, bit part players who do exactly what their role is, and they are able to execute. And you know, it goes back to what we saw with the Bucks in last year's playoffs. They are an awesome team in a regular season. Because the way the regular season goes, and if you want to talk NBA with us, Bleck and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000, 312-332-3776, all calls welcome. The thing that's amazing about the Bucks, in the regular season, the grind of the regular season, a team flies in, you play your game, they fly out, you go on to the next city, and you don't really have a whole lot of game planning. You worry about your own sets, you worry about the different tendencies of the other team, but you don't really coach up how to stop someone during the season, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where you see Giannis fly into a city on a Tuesday night and light up Utah. Flies out, and then he lands in Phoenix, and boom, here come the Bucks, and they have 70 points in the first half, and they're just rolling teams. Mm-hmm. And then you get into these playoff series, like we saw last year in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Raptors, and there's actually a plan in place to take on Giannis for multiple nights in a row, and you start to see it all erode and start to fade away, because Giannis is great, but he is a flawed extreme superstar at the moment. He doesn't really have that three-point game and the confidence in it to be able to take over games from that point. And teams know if you pack the lane and you stop his initial push, that then you start to force others around him to have to beat you. And that's where this Bucks team, even though the pieces look nice in a regular season, man, they are up against it, against a smart, good Miami Heat team that's well prepared.
Well, I think the problem is, Chris, you look at, you know, Giannis had 29 last night, Middleton had 23, and then what else? Lopez put up 16, Bledsoe put up 16. Like, you don't have, I don't know if Middleton is good enough of a star to pair along with Giannis for this team to be successful. But the difference is, you're seeing in the Heat that they're playing more of a team game, and they're just attacking you. And the way that they play is as a team and not just Jimmy and a bunch of dudes. You know what I mean? Like, they're not just standing around waiting for Jimmy to do something, where it seems like sometimes this Bucks offense is, if Giannis isn't doing it, then who else is doing it?
Well, I mean, and then also, you know, the Heat shoot well from three.
Mm-hmm.
And those bit part players I was talking about, Tyler Hero, he went 3 of 8 from three. Kelly Olynyk went 3 of 4 from three last night. Goran Dragic went 4 of 8. Duncan Robinson, 3 of 8 from three. Crowder, 4 of 12. You know, you have guys making three-point shots. They shot 37.8% from three. The Bucks, one of the best three-point teams in the league coming into the playoffs, shot 28%, 7 mm-hmm. of 25. So, I mean, that's where you kind of see this, and you make the point of, like, can Chris Middleton be the second best player on a team that wins a championship? I think that's tough to see at this
I think
moment.
he's your third best player.
He's a perfect third. He is on the tier of players like a Draymond Green would be, right? He is on the tier of players that you would hope. And I know that right now many of the teams only have the two stars running.
Mm-hmm.
But
is Chris Middleton ever going to be a superstar, or is he just a really good player?
Solid all-star.
Yeah, okay.
But I would take Jimmy Butler every single day
over. Of course I would.
And that's where it's kind of, okay, well, which one is it, guys? Because the Bucks by far have the best player in the series.
Yeah.
But the Heat have more players contributing at a higher level than the bench players of a Korver, of a George Hill, you know, of those individuals, Wes Matthews.
They're deeper.
Yeah, they're absolutely deeper.
And I think that Eric Spoelstra is just doing one of his best coaching jobs ever this year. Like, the way he's got this team playing, the way that they're performing, the way that they're... I mean, look at this. Like if you look at... Butler only had 13 yesterday, and Dragic had 23, and they still won the game because all these guys are contributing. You know, Hero comes off the bench with 17 points. Like, that's what you need. You need that kind of depth. You can't just have three guys doing it. You know, in the playoffs, you know, we always talk about, well... You know, like, LeBron can put up a lot of points and Anthony Davis can put up a lot of points, but what happens when one of those two guys have a night off? You know, like, what happens when Giannis has a night off? Well, Butler had a night off, and look what happened, you know?
Well, his defense is still there.
His defense is still there. Yes, I get it. His defense is still there. But when he has a bad shooting night, someone else can step up on that team.
The other game from last night, the Rockets beat the Thunder 104-102. And it was exciting all the way down to the end. And, you know, we talked about it in this spot last night here on ESPN 1000. We talked about James Harden and his legacy and what it would mean if he was bounced in the first round of the playoffs. They win last night because of a defensive play from James Harden. Now, imagine saying that before last night.
Yeah.
That's something that you would never say, that the Rockets advance because of a defensive play due to James Harden in a game that he went 4 of 15 from the field, 1 of 9 from 3, scored 17 points, and had 4 turnovers. James Harden was terrible last night, and the Rockets find a way to win.
What was more impressive, the block or the split jump?
Well, the split jump was pretty impressive.
The midair split jump to avoid the out-of-bounds play.
Well, and then they reviewed it, and then they showed that Dort was actually out of bounds from the get-go, so it doesn't even matter.
But still, it's still an impressive play.
Listen, to be honest, you know what's impressive? Getting up to block that shot and not causing the foul. So many times when someone closes out to then go try and block a shot, you clip the leg, you clip something, the player falls who's shooting the three, then you get three shots, and it's all garbage. It was impressive the way Harden got up, he blocked it, and then stayed out of the body contact lane from Dort. So, I mean, it was impressive, and that's where we kind of move this forward as we're talking NBA playoffs with you here on ESPN 1000 is, okay, Rockets-Lakers, now what? Because, you know, this Lakers team, they don't shoot well. They don't shoot well from deep, and the Rockets are going to go small. So how do you match up with the perimeter players of the Rockets, who most of them are pretty tough guys, too? So it's not like they're going to be allowed to be bullied by LeBron or bullied by Anthony Davis because they're bigger, right? Like, PJ Tucker is not going to let that happen. Like, he's going to get in there. He's going to mix it up. Yeah, Covington absolutely. Is going to get in there. He's going to play defense. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just, oh, they're smaller, so LeBron and AD are just going to run all over these guys. I am interested in this series. I think it's going to be a fantastic series, Rockets and Lakers.
I think it's going to be good. You can get a good price on the Rockets if you want to. I believe they're plus 360 for the series. They're a 6.5-point dog on the first game. You know, like you said, I think that they match up well where the Lakers do not. If the problem is for Houston, though, if that three-point shot isn't falling, where are they getting their scoring from? You know, like, I feel like it's, you know, it was started to be a problem yesterday. Like Twitter was ready. They could taste the blood of James Harden.
To go after Harden.
Like, they were ready for Dort to be the next Michael Jordan and for James Harden to not get out of the first round and for them and for Dort to have more points. Like, you could see it just escalating on Twitter. They're like, this is going to be amazing. And then they win the game on Harden's offensive or defensive play. But ultimately, if that three-point shot isn't falling, where are they getting their scoring from? And can they, you know, combat the best player in the league or one of the best players in the league right now in LeBron James and Anthony Davis when they've just been sitting with their feet up because they took care of the Trailblazers a few days ago?
Tonight at 8 o'clock when we are done with Black and Abdallah, you will get the Nuggets and the Clippers, game one of the second round series between the Nuggets and the Clippers. You'll hear it right here on ESPN 1000. Let's switch to this quickly. So the Chicago Bears are in the middle of trying to figure out who the quarterback is going to be for this season. There's a lot of back and forth, a lot of discourse, a lot of conversation about who should be the quarterback. To me, when we look at the Chicago Bears and who should be the quarterback of this team, to me, it's obvious. It's the guy who gives you the best chance to win, right? Mm-hmm. Who's going to disagree with that?
Nobody.
You hear a lot of people, and you see it online, and you see it socially, and you see it in the Twitch chat, people suggesting that the decision needs to be made based on a possible decision that could be made in the future. And that decision would be someone being benched because they're not playing well. So we need to have the right mindset for the individual who then will be replacing that said first person. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the logic that a lot of people in this city have on how you make the decision at quarterback. Should you be playing the best quarterback?
Yeah.
Whoever's the best guy.
Yeah.
Play the best guy.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we worrying about failure in the future and then suggesting that if this guy isn't the best guy at this moment, that because he's not the best guy now, we need to worry and coddle about his mental makeup so then when we have to make a change because we failed, that we have to be able to put him in and be successful then? How about we start the best quarterback against the Lions and we win that week? And then when we face the Giants, we go 2-0? Because then you get the Falcons on the road and you get the Colts. And then you know what's after the Colts? At some point here, you're going to face the Buccaneers.
The Bucs.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, this is okay. And then before we even get into it at 7:35 later on tonight, like, this schedule is not easy. This Bears schedule. You got to get some wins up front.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we wasting around here thinking that we need to protect someone's psyche? Let's play the best quarterback. Can we do that? And notice how I've not used a name yet. No names. I haven't given you a name.
Yeah. Who gives you the best shot to win?
Either quarterback.
Who gives you the best shot to win? Who
gives you the best shot to win?
Who gives you the best shot to win a football game?
Are you asking me or are you just saying to the coaches?
I'm just saying to the coaches. When you go in, when you are coming out of that huddle, when you're coming out of that tunnel against the Lions, week one, who do you believe gives you the best chance to win? That's it. It's simple as that. You can watch all the practice reps you want. It's practice. It's not real. You can watch everything all the snaps of the defense not actually tackling dudes because you're not allowed to actually tackle quarterbacks. And, you know, you can and plays being broken down and all that stuff and how they come in and out of the huddle and all that and the nonverbal communication and everything. You can look at all that. How they're reading defenses. You can look at all that. Whoever is more equipped to win the football game should start. Simple as that.
Do people not remember how last year ended? Seriously, do you not remember how, like, the feelings you had, the disappointment when the Bears did not make the playoffs last year? You can't do that again. They have to win from the start. You have to play the best player.
I'm sick of being in the hunt. I just want to be in. I don't want to be in the hunt. I want to be in. It's ridiculous.
All right,
they have a championship caliber defense. Stop being dummies about it.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, you don't have to name call, but I mean, it'd be nice if they win some football games.
I'm just saying that, like, this, the fact that you don't know what you're doing going in is insane to me.
We preview the NFL season with the Fat Jack coming up next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, Abdallah, the football season is a week away.
Like, exactly a week. Like, exactly. It's 7:20, exactly a week from today. Chiefs, Texans. Can't wait.
And so each and every week at 7:15 here on ESPN 1000, we will talk with the Fat Jack. He is going to give us the latest on gambling for the football weekend. He is a trusted sports advisor. He is the most trusted sports advisor in the game. If you need help betting games against the spread, NFL, college football, NBA, MLB, even UFC, every result is tracked and verified. Daily, weekly, monthly, and season packages are all available. Go to fatjacksports.com, call 800-298-1383, or follow at the Fat Jack on Twitter. Jack joins us now here on Black and Abdallah. Jack, we are excited and thrilled that the football season is 1 week away.
Yeah, you know, guys, actually there's something, if you're a UAB fan or, you know, live in Hillbilly, Arkansas,
love it.
You get another way. In about 15 minutes, you're coming out of the trailer park and getting after it. So, I mean, there's something for everybody starting tonight. But you're right, 1 week away from real NFL football. It seemed like a lot. In February, March, and April, we were never going to get to this point. So, you know, God willing, we get another week under our belt. We're going to have some NFL football to bet on.
Listen, I may or may not have taken the under on a directional school that's playing later tonight that I have to watch on ESPN3 or CBS Sports Network. I don't remember which one, but I'll have to find that and make sure that comes in because, yeah, it's football. I'm going to gamble on it, duh.
Yeah, that's the big problem here. Tonight we've got the NBA playoffs. We won 1-0 earlier with Houston minus a run and a half in the basis, so we're up a little over a unit today, but we've got both NBA games, the college football someplace, if you get cable, and Love Island's a two-hour episode. I mean, if you're not doing yes. something tonight, I mean, I'm Tebowing everything.
Jack, as we preview the divisions for the NFL and next week, and we look at the NFC North and the Chicago Bears, is there value on looking at the Bears to win the division this season?
You know, and here's what one of the things that separates me from a lot of people, guys, is that I take my heart entirely out of it. You know, and I know you guys know this, but when they opened up gambling in Indiana, the most wagered on thing there was were the Chicago Bears to win the AFC or the NFC, and also for Mitch Trubisky to win the MVP. Now, what we found out is Mitch had trouble throwing it into Lake Michigan there. I went to a couple of games, and it was a difficult chore for him. And the answer to your question is, tell me who's going to play quarterback and how effective they're going to be. We have not – you guys, I know you've been doing this show for a long time, and you have not talked 1 second about the preseason and how that has played out. And that's the biggest problem with a team like Chicago. So there might be a little bit of value because they have all the other components, but – and within the division, Green Bay should be better. They're healthy. Minnesota, I'm pretty sure their quarterback is going to get COVID and will be out for a while and may die of it. I mean, I don't know if you heard what he said. It kills me. So we'll see how that goes. Detroit, also, if they stay healthy with either their head coach for another year, they should be better defensively, you would think. That's why he got the job. So it's one of those things that I would stay away from the division entirely. There are other spots, especially when you're talking about tying your money up for the entire year. I mean, these bets are bets that you're not getting money payback tomorrow or next week. You have to wait the entire year to get your money back, and there's much easier spot that really, if you know what you're doing, you're going to be able to turn that same, say, $100 or $1,000 or whatever into 4, 5, 6 times that much money over the course of the season.
Do you see any value or any change in the win total for the Bears depending on who the quarterback is?
I think you'll have to lay to go over when they announce. I think they're announced Foles to start. And when they do, I think it's 8.5. It's not going to go to 9. I just think there's too many things, at least early on. The thing about betting preseason this year in particular is all guys are able to look at are what they saw last year. And if you guys bet on the NFL for any amount of time, you know that is the worst way to bet in the NFL. You can't decide what happened last week for next week. But if and when Foles comes out, I think it stays at 8.5. You're just going to have to lay probably 140 to go over. So if you're a fan and you have extra money, you want to bet the Bears, get it now. go across the river or whatever. I know you guys have the mobile app there as well. So let me get that down now, because you will, when they announce the quarterback situation, I think you're going to go to where you're paying for them to go over the total. But if you're looking to make money betting those type of bets, look for some of the unders for the season. I mean, Baltimore's not winning 11 games, all right? Another year, Lamar Jackson's too one-dimensional. He doesn't throw the ball all that well. He's an incredible athlete, but when you give defensive coordinators another year to game plan for him, it's going to shift from let's make that kid beat us to we're going to make somebody else beat us, and they're going to struggle through that. The other one to go under is at Tampa Bay. Look for the Bucs. Listen, you can't plug and play in that situation with a 40-something-year-old quarterback, even if he is wearing a cape and Tom Brady. They have too many new weapons. Jameis Winston and Tom Brady are polar opposites. From the type of girls they date to how they play on the football field, these are different guys. You have Winston that mobile, gets around, and will throw it to the other team as much as he throws it to his own team. Brady, totally different. He's not going to have near the time. Winston did a really good job of lengthening plays with his legs. I don't see that happening at all. I think this is a team that does struggle early in the year. We're seeing they're a four-point underdog on the road at New Orleans, which is supposed to win their division. I think that's not enough. I would play New Orleans in the first game of the year as well.
You mentioned the Ravens. Is there any value in taking the Steelers at a little over 3-1 to win the division?
Yeah, you know, they're kind of the sexy pick out of there because they get Roethlisberger back. They've got to be upgraded at quarterback. And if you're going to play anybody, that's the one. You know, listen, I'm like you guys. Although I know a little bit about Baker Mayfield from his college days, I don't know that anybody's going to be able to stand that kid if they have a lot of success. I mean, his head literally may explode because he is cocky even when they're bad. But I do expect Cleveland to be better, and I'll tell you why. It does start with him. He was the worst quarterback in the league last year when not pressured. So unforced errors, drop back in the pocket, and just basically throw it to the other team. Baker Mayfield, the worst in the entire league. And historically, with that category, those quarterbacks regress back toward the mean substantially the following year, unless they're in danger of losing their job, which he is not. He's going to be their starter. He should improve in that one category immensely, and that's going to pay some dividends for the Cleveland Browns, along with the wholesale high-profile changes they've made from the top on down. So I would be careful about that division because I think Cleveland might be a long shot that could jump up there if Baltimore stumbles. But yeah, Pittsburgh and Cleveland in that one. I'll give you another one. You know, the two I like the most are they're big favorites, so I wouldn't touch them. But I think Kansas City wins their division. I think Dallas wins that division. They've got a great offensive line, run the ball well, and their coaching upgrade is immense. Jason Garrett was the worst coach in the league with his personnel during his tenure. They have to get upgraded at that. So I would definitely look there. The other kind of long shot I might look at are the Atlanta Falcons. Who are flying under a lot of people's radar. I think they'll be a little healthier. They've got veteran quarterback play. Look for them to make a run in that division if Tampa Bay struggles like I think they will. And New Orleans' home field isn't what we think it might be because they're not going to have any fans down there.
We're talking football with the Fat Jack. Go to fatjacksports.com. Follow him on Twitter at the Fat Jack or call 800-298-1383. Talking football with Bleck and Abdallah. Jack, if we take a look at the NFC West, we were having the discussion yesterday that we think that this might be at the end of the season the best division in football. And we think that all four of these teams in the NFC West could all possibly be in the conversation to make the playoffs. What do you think of the West?
Yeah, I think it's wide open because I believe San Francisco absolutely takes a step back. I think Garoppolo is one of those guys that he has limitations also, and I think those will be exposed a little bit. Not to mention, there's a trend that goes back 20 years or so. The loser in the Super Bowl doesn't make the playoffs more times than not the following year. If you look back, you got to go back. It's been about even or maybe up a couple games in the last 5 years or so. But before that, there was a long stretch of most teams that lose in the Super Bowl don't make the playoffs because of free agency, because of trades and different things that go on. They typically take a step back. The Rams, guys, if you look at the Rams and where they've gone, a year and a half ago, we were talking about McVay as being the offensive mind guru of the entire NFL. So which is he? Is he a guy that doesn't get enough out of his talent like last year, or is he that guy we thought he was? I think he's probably somewhere in between, but that's definitely a team that can take a step back up. And I'll tell you another thing about the Rams. If you're drafting your fantasy, I know my son who goes to the University of Chicago, they're doing that right now, actually. If you're drafting, look for their quarterback, the Rams quarterback. They have very big tendencies. If they're down, if they're down a field goal, they throw the ball almost 76% of the time when they're losing in a game. And if they're down a touchdown, they throw it almost 83% of the time. So translation, McVay goes back to what he knows best whenever they are desperate and need to throw the ball. So when they're playing teams that are supposed to be better than them, you might start quarterback and receivers. When they're playing teams they should beat, play the running back. So just a little fantasy to throw in there as we talk about the Rams.
Sometimes it's hard to pick which teams are going to win, you know, 9 games, 10 games, 11 games, those top of the teams when you're looking at win totals. But sometimes it's really easy to figure out which teams are going to be really, really bad this year. Are there any unders that you're looking at these teams that might be, you know, eyeing the number one pick this season?
Yeah, there are some bad ones. I think teams to regress at the top have been kind of where my bread and butter's been made. Finding teams that were good. Matter of fact, the Chicago Bears, I go on all over and on Sirius and stuff, and they were my poster child of taking a step back going into last season. And I put Tampa in that boat with them, also Baltimore. But so at the top, kind of moving back has been where I make my money. But if you move down the list, I think the Raiders are going the wrong way. I mean, I really do. They're making the change to Las Vegas. They're not going to have any fans there. So there will be absolutely no home field, it looks like, at least right now. And they're not a team that look like they're taking that next step. You know, if I can go have a drink with anybody in the league, John Gruden's at the top of the list. But I don't know that he's getting it done at the pace that they really need to get it done for them to take a step. So I go under with the Raiders for sure. The Jets seem like a dumpster fire. McVay, their coach was horrible at Miami, and it seems like he's taken that same exact style to the Jets. So I don't know that they're going to get a lot better. I think Detroit goes over the 6.5. And to get toward the bottom there, I think we've got question marks at quarterback with Washington, Cincinnati. How quickly did they get involved? So I would probably wait and see on a lot of those. Making money bet on sports guys, as you know, is not betting on everything. It's finding the spots. It's like fighting Mike Tyson. You go in there and start swinging, he's going to knock you out. But if you go and pick and choose your spots, especially as it relates to tying your money up all year, you could make good money over the year. But it's certainly not betting every team.
Jack, before we get to next week and we can preview week one lines for the NFL and really dig in, do you have any just general advice for someone who's just getting into sports gambling for this football season? They say, you know what? Now's the time. It's legal here in Illinois, and I want to jump in. Do you have any tips for someone who's going to be looking at the spreads for next week and week one in the NFL?
Absolutely. From a general standpoint, guys, gambling on sports, 97% of all sports bettors lose. That's the first thing. That's not me saying that. Those are studies that have been done out of the state of Nevada and the Las Vegas Review Journal. Most people lose. And the reason they do is because they cannot apply the line properly, and two, they play the favorite team because you see what you like and you want to bet on that. If you're okay losing, it's like going to the golf course and knowing you're playing golfers that are better, and you want to lose your money that way, go right ahead. But if you want to make money, take your heart out of it, figure out how to apply the line or find somebody that knows how to. As it relates to week one, just some general stuff. Injuries are going to be up this year because no preseason, so be careful on – if you don't have depth with some of these teams, I'd be careful about playing them. Also, with the influx of dead money, is what we call it in the business, or sharps and their squares, and a bunch of people that don't know what they're doing coming into the market, they're going to naturally want to play over, and they're going to want to play favorites. So Thursday night, they're going to want to play the Chiefs, and they're going to play the over. That total, 54, is about as high a total as we've had on opening night in a long, long time. And less than 6% of teams that are win in the NFL by more than 10 points. So anytime you're laying 10, you'd better be getting a really good team that's going to run off and hide, and I don't know that you're getting that. So just be careful playing what a guy who just watches ESPN would play. That's my advice. If you're not going to get somebody like me, then definitely don't follow the herd, because the value is going to be a lot of times the opposite of where you think the general public would be putting their money, especially having no experience or knowledge of these teams because of what's going on with COVID.
Thanks, Jack. We'll talk to you next week.
Guys, absolutely. Yeah, you get the NFL right now, and I'll give you college football for free if you sign up from the state of Illinois. So sign up for NFL, you get college football absolutely free. It's my special because it's the first time on the show.
Sounds good. Fat Jack, find him, fatjacksports.com. Call 1-800-298-1383. Follow him on Twitter, @TheFatJack. Need help betting games against the spread? The Fat Jack is the most trusted sports advisor in the game. The NFL, college football, like he just mentioned, NBA, MLB, and the UFC. Every result tracked and verified daily, monthly, and weekly, and all season packages are all available. The Fat Jack, the most trusted sports advisor.
A couple nights ago, we talked about the Raiders regressing and how I don't like them. And I'm like, I'm glad.
Jack Jack's on it.
I'm glad that the Fat Jack agrees. And listen, we talked to the Fat Jack earlier this week. You know, he's, I would say fat is a, is
no,
he's,
no, no, like the wallet. The wallet.
Yeah, that's
fat.
What, yeah, yes. The wallet is fat. The man is not fat,
no,
I would
no,
say.
No, no,
I would say he makes your wallet fat, not necessarily himself is fat.
So each and every week, 7:15 on Thursday nights, we will talk to the Fat Jack to get you ready for the gambling football weekend.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, you got your fine tooth comb?
I got my comb pants on.
Comb pants? What are comb pants?
I don't know. You asked me for thinking pants last hour, and now I've got my comb pants on.
We are officially a week away from the start of the NFL season.
Win, loss, win, loss, win, loss.
Throughout, are you getting ready?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Getting ready in my head. Win, loss, win, loss.
Throughout this week and into next week before we get to the opener, we are previewing the NFL season with our Football is Back week.
We missed you, football.
Hut, hut, hut!
And then hut! Black and Abdallah.
Oh! Whoa! What a hit!
Last time of year again, back to football.
Now watch him, he's going. Hut, hut, hut!
What a catch!
Oh, God!
DeAndre Hopkins!
Oh! I'm excited, man. I'm super excited.
Black and Abdallah.
Domination.
Oh, my goodness!
On ESPN 1000.
We missed you, football. And it's great to have you back.
All right, so last night we did 10 storylines heading into the NFL season. Tonight, we are looking at the Bears' 2020 schedule. We're going to go through this with a fine-tooth comb because I think until you sit down and actually look at it and try and figure out how this team is going to get to 10-6, how they're going to get to 11-5, 8-8, 9-7, God forbid, 6-10. You got to actually look at what the schedule is. Mm-hmm. So let's go through this year's schedule. And then did you look at it ahead of time?
I got a win column. Oh, I got a loss column.
You're going to do the spur of the moment?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I actually prepared this earlier today.
I have prepared too, but we're going to talk through it.
Okay. Let's talk
through it. I know the schedule.
Okay.
I'm looking at it.
Yes.
I know what I think the Bears are going to be.
Okay.
So hold on though.
Yeah.
Who's playing?
What do you mean?
Like, who's playing?
Well, as I kind of went through this, and you're talking about the quarterback position, Black and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000, I have a few swing games, and I think the swing games on my my ledger are decided on who is the starting quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of went with the mindset when I went through this that Mitchell Trubisky will be the starting quarterback. So that's what I went through this list. I don't think he will be, but I went through this list as if he is going to be the quarterback.
Excuse me?
Well, I'm just trying to figure out how this team gets to the playoffs. That's what I'm trying to do here. Okay? So week one, at the Lions. I think the Bears beat the Lions.
Yeah, I think the Bears beat the Lions, regardless of who is under center.
Week two, home for the Giants. I think the Bears beat the Giants.
W, regardless of who is under center.
Week three at Atlanta, I think, is a win for the Bears. It gets a bit tricky based on the quarterback in play, but I think the Bears win. They start the season 3-0.
Agreed, regardless of who is under center.
Week four, the Colts. I think no matter who the Bears play at quarterback, this is going to be a tough game. I think the Bears, after 4 weeks, will be 3-1. I think they lose to the Colts. I think the Colts are going to be the best team in the AFC South. I think what we saw from them last year, I think they're more of the team that we thought heading into last season, where we were very high on the Colts. They have Phillip Rivers now at quarterback. I like the Colts.
I think that they are going to be a control-the-clock style offense. I think the Bears, with a fully healthy defense, will be able to stop their running game and limit Phillip Rivers. I think that this is a win for the Bears. If it comes down to a game-winning drive, who do you trust more, Foles or Trubisky?
You have to answer. I already gave my answer.
So I think that if Foles is starting, this is a win. I think if Trubisky is starting, this is a loss.
Keep track of your record over there.
I'm keeping track of my record. I have 4-0 right now if Foles. I'm going to put a little star under that one.
Week five, Tampa Bay, Thursday nighter at home. I think the Bears lose to the Bucks.
I think they lose regardless.
3-2 is where I have the Bears. Week 6 at Carolina. The Bears win that game no matter who's at quarterback.
They also win regardless.
They're 4-2. Week 7 at the Rams in Los Angeles on Monday night.
Uh-oh. We've been here before.
And I think no matter who the quarterback is, I think that is a loss. I think the Bears are 4-3.
I think, yeah, based off of what we saw last year from this team, I agree that it is a loss regardless. I have them at 5-2 right now.
Week 8, home against the Saints.
That is a loss regardless.
We're both going to say it's a loss because of what we saw last year from the Saints at Soldier Field. The Bears are 4-4. They go on the road in Week 9 at Tennessee. I think that's a win. I don't like the Titans this season. The Bears are 5-4 after that game.
You know, I think that there are certain games that you're supposed to lose that you win. And I think there's games that you're supposed to win that you lose. Like last year, you look at the Raiders game, right? They should have won that game.
Sure.
They lost it.
Yeah.
You know, I think that this is a game that they can win, but I don't think they do.
Shout out to all the people in the Twitch chat that are giving us the win-loss with us as we go through this schedule. I love that. Week 10, home against the Vikings on Monday Night Football. The Bears have been good against the Vikings as of late. I think that's a loss for the Bears. I think they're 5-5 after this game.
I am marking that one down as a W. That's a win. Home game,
okay.
Win.
No crowd.
Monday night,
no crowd.
You're still at home.
Okay.
You still get the your familiar.
I got you.
Familiarity.
Okay, the bye week is week 11. Week 12 at Green Bay, Sunday Night Football. I think now the Bears slip under 500. They lose to the Packers. They are now 5-6.
Oh, I have them 6-5, my friend.
Okay. Week 13, the Lions at home. The Bears win. They are now 6-6 in my book.
Yeah, 7-5, baby. 7-5.
Week 14, home for the Houston Texans. The Bears lose that game. They are 6-7.
Loss.
Week 15, at Minnesota. I think the Bears lose to the Vikings.
I agree with you. 7-7.
They're 6-8 on my ledger. Week 16.
Oh, they're beating Jacksonville.
At Jacksonville. The Bears win. They're 7-8.
Yep.
And then we get to week 17.
Loss.
Against the Packers at home.
Loss.
I think the Bears lose. They are 7-9. Now let me explain why I have 7-9.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are two swing games. And the swing games are week 7 at the Rams on Monday night, and week 10 home against the Vikings. You gave the Bears a win on that Vikings game, right?
I did.
And the Rams game, you gave them?
A loss.
Okay. So that would take their record to 8-8.
I have them at 8-8 right now.
If they split the two swing games that I have on my ledger,
yeah,
then that would get them back to 8-8.
Okay.
Now, I think the season will be decided in weeks 14 and 15. Those two games against the Texans and at the Vikings. Those 2 weeks, I think, are the two crucial weeks of the season that will determine whether or not this team makes the playoffs. Why? Because if they win those two games, they will then enter week 16 against Jacksonville at 8-6. And at 8-6 with two to play and one against Jacksonville and one against the Packers, you theoretically should be able to get to 9 wins and get into the playoffs. I think the season will be determined week 14 and week 15. Those two games. Texans at home and on the road against the Vikings.
See, I agree with you, and I will add this. I agree with you, and I think that there are 3 games for me that I have as losses that they can win, okay? Which would take them from 8-8 to, I mean, 11-5, right? And you're winning the division if you're 11-5, okay? But neither of them are Packers games, so you still have a record. You still have a good record, right? I think that they can go into LA and win. I think that they can beat Houston. If this team is good, if this team is what we hope they can be, which is a Super Bowl contending team, because the defense is a top 5 defense again, and you get good quarterback play from Foles or Trubisky, whoever the hell it is. As long as it improves, they should be able to beat the Rams, who are going to be down. They should be able to beat Houston, who lost their best offensive weapon. And they should be able to beat Minnesota on the road, right? If they're going to be a team that has Super Bowl aspirations. So to me, it's those three games where you can swing it. I also see a situation where on a short week at home, you can beat Tampa Bay. Short week, wow. You're at home.
Calling it now.
You might be able to beat Tampa Bay.
Calling
it
now.
I think you can.
Look at that.
I think you can.
Love that.
I think you can. Now, it all comes down to what we've been talking about for the last... God, I don't remember a time when we weren't talking about Foles versus Trubisky.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
When Nick Foles wasn't here.
Okay, sure.
Before he was traded.
Was he always here?
Can I add this? So my 7-9, if I take the two swing games and the two games I think will be deciding the season, week 7, 10, 14, and 15, two games against the Vikings, the Rams game, and the Texans game, if you tell me Nick Foles is starting those games, the Bears could get to 11-5.
That's what I have. I have if
they could get to 11-5. Now, if it's Trubisky for all four of those games, then yeah, I think the swing games are tough, and I think those season deciding games at the end, week 14, 15, I don't know if the Bears can pull that off if it's Trubisky.
I think that you can't afford to start the way I keep comparing them to the Titans and Mariota and starting 2-4 and having to dig themselves out of that hole.
All right, good stuff. Back to football week. Can't wait for the season to start next Thursday. Coming up next, good question.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
We were just talking about the NFL schedule and the Chicago Bears in 2020, and going through each game, isn't it even more obvious to why Mitch Trubisky should not be the starter? Because if you start off slow, no, hold on. We both gave the Bears 3-0.
Yeah.
You got the Bears at 4-0.
Mm-hmm.
If the Bears don't start off fast, how the heck do they get to 9 wins if they start the season 1-3?
No, you can't. You can't afford. You can't.
It's
come
not going to happen.
Because here's the problem with the schedule, right?
Not going to happen.
It's not going to happen because you play your two games against the Vikings and your two games against the Packers late in the season.
Yeah,
those games are going to decide the division, and you can't be 1-3 going into those games.
Well, and also it's why the one Lions game, the Giants, and the Falcons, like three of the air quote easier games on the schedule, you got to take advantage of early.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
All right, good question time. We rate all the questions asked here on ESPN 1000. If you ask a good question to a guest on the phone and they respond with good or great question, you score a point as a host here at ESPN 1000. What does our leaderboard look like in 2020?
Waddle has 34, Jonathan Hood has 28, and Cap and Sylvie are tied at 27.
Let's go to good question.
Yeah, I got a question for. Can I get an answer?
You're going to take any questions?
Do you want me to let me finish talking? You ask me a question, I'm going to answer it. Don't interrupt me, okay? Just leave it plain and simple, all right?
Where do you live?
In the city.
Do you have a house?
Apartment.
Own or rent?
Rent.
What do you do for a living?
Lots of things.
Where's your office?
I don't have one.
How come?
I don't need one.
Where's your wife?
Don't have one.
How come?
It's a long story.
Do you have kids?
No, I don't.
How come?
It's an even longer story.
Are you my dad's brother?
What's your record for consecutive questions asked?
38.
Dad, I got a question for you.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
It's the question that drives us near. It's the question that brought you here.
How could you ask me a question like that? What is my opinion of his performance?
I'm on Burgundy?
Who typed a question mark on the teleprompter?
Dad, I got a question for you. Can I get an answer?
Here's this week's edition of Good Question.
But right now, if you had to put your money down, which of these teams makes the most noise going forward and into the postseason, the White Sox or the Cubs?
Man, tell Adam and Chris, that's a good question.
Do you think they're going to go out and get somebody?
Because
there are running backs out there, just sitting out there. I know that they say Montgomery will probably be out for just a couple weeks, but can you start without an established running back?
That's a great question.
What has it been like for you? As a black man,
Kevin Winter,
who knows some of these players,
and Kevin
who has covered this league for so long.
Kevin Winter.
That's a really good question.
How much can you really look at
Xander
when you see this? And as you mentioned, you know, the O-line's not going to cut the D-line. How much of an indication are we really, really getting in these types of scrimmages?
It's a really good question.
What do you want to see from the White Sox in this series against the Twins that we did not see the last time? Any in particular that you're looking forward to seeing from the White Sox standpoint?
Jay Hood. That's a great question.
Jed, when we take a look at David Ross's manager, what is Ross doing as different than you've seen in that position the last few years?
Coming for that spot.
That's a really, really good way to phrase that question.
You go back and rewind your brain to the day you guys arrived in 2012 this franchise was a train wreck. And I'm talking infrastructure, talent, everything.
Cap.
Train wreck. That challenge, COVID-19, this challenge, or managing,
long question.
I know what's coming in a year. Theo's deal's up, and the players, our core guys, their deals are up. Of those three challenges, what's the most difficult?
That's a good question.
All right, the last one. Hood's question doesn't count. He said that's a good way to phrase that question. That's not a good question.
All right.
Yeah, you have to say good or great question.
You have to say good or great question. That's a good way to phrase the question.
Thanks to Sean Davis for producing tonight's show. We'll be back with Waddle and Sylvie tomorrow, too.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.